the asteroid that this woman had carved into a memorial to the history of her Andean people. He saw the ionospheric paintings she had produced, making artificial aurorae high in Earth's atmosphere with electron guns to paint ephemeral pictures that glowed with delicate shimmering colors briefly at twilight, then faded as the sun went below the horizon. The Virgin of the Andes, the serenely beautiful heavenly pastures, the star children. What is she doing in a ship deep in the belt with a mass murderer? Doric Harbin had come aboard Viking peacefully and admitted that he was the man who had wiped out the chrysalis habitat. Yuan's crew stood in awe of the cyborg, their hands on their sidearms as they marched the half-machine to one of the ship's empty storage bays and locked him in. Yuan had sent a message to HSS headquarters on the moon, informing them that he had captured Doric Harbin and that the killer had been accompanied by Elverda Apacheta. Now, as he waited for their reply, he wondered all over again why Humphreys wanted Harbin executed in the deep darkness of the belt rather than bringing him back to civilization and taking the credit for tracking down the criminal. A gentle knock on his door startled Yuan out of his thoughts. He touched a key, and his screen showed it was Tamara out in the passageway. "Come in," he said sharply, without getting up from his desk chair. She slid the door back and stepped into his compartment, a sheet of plastic flimsy in her hand, a self-satisfied little smile on her delicately boned face. "Headquarters answer," she said, handing the sheet to him. "It's encrypted, for your eyes only." Yuan took the sheet and slid it into his scanner. Tamara turned to leave. "Hold on a minute," he said. She turned and stood framed by the open doorway. "Shut the door." She slid it closed and turned back to him, her smile a little more tentative now. Without asking her to sit down, Yuan said, "You've been too informal with me on the bridge."
"You told me so, in front of the others.
Discipline in small things is important. I can't have the crew think I'm showing favoritism toward you." Her brows arched. "What we do in the privacy of this compartment is one thing. On the bridge is another."
"I see.
I hope you do." The scanner had finished its decrypting task. Its yellow ready light was blinking. Yuan swiveled his chair to face the display screen. Tamara made no move to leave. He looked up at her over his shoulder. "You already know what this says, don't you?" She didn't reply, but she didn't look surprised by his question either. "Headquarters assigned you to watch me?"
"Mr. Humphreys assigned me to watch you. He considers this mission extremely important."
"Humphreys himself?"
"Yes. The message is from him personally."
Yuan was surprised that the news didn't startle him. He realized that he'd half expected something like this, wheels within wheels, a labyrinth for the lab rats to run through. He told the screen, "Display message, please." The letters glowed bright red against a yellow background. "Eliminate them both immediately."
Attack ship Viking. Infirmary. Helverda's eyes fluttered open. A blank and featureless ceiling hung low over her, a pale cream color. She smelled the faint tang of disinfectant, heard a soft, beeping sound. For long moments she lay still, trying to work up the courage to see if she could move her head. Slowly, she realized that the pain was gone. Her entire body felt relaxed, languid. Then she stiffened with the memory of her last waking moments, the agony flaming through her, and Dorn's words, tense and urgent. "Cease firing. We have a sick woman on board. She needs immediate medical assistance. We surrender." He surrendered. He slowed the ship and surrendered to our pursuers because he wanted to save me. Have they already killed him? Are they going to kill me? She turned her head and saw that she was in a hospital of some kind. More likely, the infirmary aboard the ship that was chasing us. Her bed was surrounded on three sides by blank off-white partitions. The fourth side was a metal bulkhead, with a bank of sensors stacked against it. They were making the beeping sounds she heard. Tentatively, Elverda tried to lift her head off the pillow. No pain. No dizziness. The beeping changed its tone slightly. She let her head sink back again to the softness of the pillows, too weak to even think about sitting up. One of the partitions slid back, and a bulky, blocky man stepped in. Suddenly the area was overcrowded. He was dressed in light gray coveralls with marks of rank on his cuffs. His face was square, heavy-set, his skin a light brown, almost golden. "Polynesian?" Elverda wondered. "You're awake?" he said, in a surprisingly light tenor. "Yes." Elverda realized that her throat was very dry, rasping. "I'm Kahalu'u Kaupakalua," he said, smiling gently. "Don't bother to try to pronounce it. Just call me Coop. Everybody calls me Coop."
"You must be the ship's medical officer."
"First mate," he corrected. "We don't carry a medic."
"I see. Where's Dorn?"
"Dorn?"
"The man who was with me. What?"
"He's Doric Harbin, isn't he? We have his files. Even with half his body replaced by machinery, he has the same DNA."
"He was Doric Harbin. Now he is Dorn."
Coop shook his head. "Whatever he calls himself, he's locked up, waiting for the captain to make up his mind about him."
"Don't hurt him. He's been hurt enough already."
"Not my call, Ms. Apacheta."
"You know my name?"
"I've seen the Rememberer. When I was a teenager. It knocked me out."
She decided it was a compliment.
"Thank you." "We injected stem cell activation factor into your heart. It's repairing the damage."
"How did you know?"
"Med program. We have an up-to-date diagnostic program in the computer, and a good stock of medical supplies."
"I see."
"It's not a total fix, you know. You ought to see a specialist when you get back to Earth. Or Selene. Whatever."
Elverda nodded, knowing that it would be many months before she returned to the moon, if ever, and she could never face the heavy gravity of Earth.
Glancing up at the sensors lining one side of her bed, Coop said, "Seems to be working. You should be able to get out of bed by tomorrow."
"But Dorn, Doric Harbin, what's going to happen to him?"
Coop shrugged his heavy shoulders. "That's for the captain to decide."
Captain Cao Yuan stared at his prisoner. The crew had locked Doric Harbin in an emptied storage locker. The man had come aboard Viking peacefully. Yuan had ordered a thorough search of his ship, Hunter. No one else was aboard. No weapons of any kind. Just ordinary stocks of food and replacement parts. Nobody but him and the old woman. Now Yuan stood in the open doorway of the storage locker. Two of his biggest crewmen stood out in the passageway, sidearms strapped to their hips. Doric Harbin stood in one corner, looking back at him. Yuan felt distinctly uneasy. "This isn't a man," his mind told him. "He's more machine than human. Half his face is metal. Etched metal covers the top of his head like a skull cap. One arm is prosthetic, and one leg. Does he have balls? What are his insides like?" "You can come in," said the half-machine. "I won't attack you." His voice was deep, calm. It made Yuan think of the huge lake he used to swim in when he was a child, before the greenhouse warming dried it out. Yuan stepped fully inside the storage locker. It was small, meant to house medical supplies. The crew had emptied its shelves and moved the supplies to an unused bed space in the infirmary, where the old woman was being kept. "You admit you are Doric Harbin?" Yuan asked. The lips on the half-face bent slightly. "I was Doric Harbin. Now I am Dorn." "You are the man who destroyed the chrysalis habitat?" I am the beast responsible for